everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
On the eve of the G20 meeting in Delhi, hosted by Narendra Modi, the powerful and popular Prime Minister of India. India is a powerful and prominent member of the organization called BRICS, which met most recently in Johannesburg, South Africa. The news here, not that BRICS meets Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, but that BRICS is expanding 6 new countries. And I welcome Sadanand Dume of the American Enterprise Institute, and his column in the Wall Street Journal looks at the BRICS expanded and asks why. Sadanand, the background of BRICS is that it was a marketing idea in the beginning of this century by a very savvy Wall Street player to convince people to invest, which is why, of course, as long as I study the names of the original BRIC, it was BRIC, South Africa was added. I can't find any common purpose. Can you find anything in common, or are these strangers who meet at the door of a party? Good evening to you.
A very good evening, John. Well, I guess the only thing that they have in common, as I mentioned in my column, is that all 11 countries define themselves as non-Western in some sense, and none of them is a prosperous liberal democracy. Some of them are not even democracies at all. They're autocracies or monarchies. Some of them are democracies like India and Brazil, but they're not particularly prosperous, or certainly not as prosperous as the industrialized countries of the West or of the East Asian economies like Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan. And so I guess these are all countries that are non-Western, not quite successful liberal democracies, or in some cases not democracies at all, and they want to have some kind of greater say in shaping the global order.
There were invitations that were puzzling. Egypt and Ethiopia, Ethiopia being the least prosperous of the new batch. Saudi Arabia and UAE are sensible, Gulf Cooperation Council. However, Iran matches them as an adversary. There are adversaries in here, and that was already built in with India and China. So what we have here is a mix of not only autocracies and democracies, but at any moment, some of these countries could break out in open fighting. Is that significant?
I think it is significant. I think that from the Chinese perspective, they would probably like to play the kind of role that historically, for example, NATO played in keeping the Greeks and the Turks, who are historic adversaries, in one grouping. But I think it's going to be much, much harder for the Chinese to pull that off. And one big reason, which I explore in my column, is that China itself has an extremely fraught relationship, which you and I have talked about a lot over the years, John, with India. So the largest economy in BRICS, which is China, has an ongoing live border dispute with the second largest country in BRICS, which is India. So that, to me, does not strike me as the, you know, hallmark of an organization that's going to be particularly successful.
So let's pursue that, because that dominates the story anytime you start talking. Russia's at war in Europe. We understand that. But India is the future, and China, these days, Wall Street's saying, is the past, or is going to be the past unless it straightens itself up. Does India benefit from BRICS? Is this an advantage to Narendra Modi?
You know, India has always sort of had this policy of trying to maximize its engagement, try to keep its eggs in many different baskets. I think its main interest in BRICS at this point is not really achieving something concrete for BRICS itself, but its main interest would be to ensure that BRICS does not become completely dominated by China. So if you look, for example, at the six countries that have been invited in, you know, India played a role in, you know, India did not want expansion, but once it looked like expansion was inevitable, India maneuvered to get some of the countries included with whom India also has very close relations. You know, Sisi, for example, was the chief guest at India's Republic Day parade this year. So India has very close ties with Egypt. It has very close ties with the UAE and increasingly close ties with Saudi Arabia. So, you know, India is kind of sort of trying to balance and maneuver, work with different groups of nations, sometimes with the Brazilians, sometimes with the South Africans, sometimes with others, to ensure that China doesn't simply take over BRICS and turn it into this anti-Western bloc, along with the help of Russia and Iran.
What is attempting is to regard India as the master of the non-aligned. That's language from the first Cold War. And although we're not in a second Cold War, it sure looks like it on every other day. Is India comfortable with being neither this nor that, like the Swiss Army knives of geopolitical power?
Well, you know, traditionally this has been the spot that for some reason India seems to find most comfortable. I think some analysts would point out that eventually if we are entering or have entered a second Cold War, India is not going to have this luxury forever. And at some point, it's going to have to pick a side. And it's pretty clear which side that would have to be. That side would have to be the U.S. and the West. But even if you haven't sort of seen the Indians say that explicitly, you have President Biden heading over to India. He's going to be there before the G20 summit in New Delhi on Saturday. So Biden will be there a couple of days early for a bilateral visit. That happens just quickly on the heels of Modi's visit to the U.S. And so you can sort of see all these pieces on the chessboard moving. And it's very clear that India, concerned by China's rise and China's belligerence, is moving closer towards the U.S., even though it remains, technically a member of organizations like BRICS.
We're told repeatedly that India's traders, India's refineries, are buying Russian oil. Is that a problem for India in conversation with NATO or the U.S. or Australia or any of the other authorities who are opposing China, that India is one of the contributors to the Russian coffers?
I thought this was going to be a bigger problem when it actually, when we first started seeing this after the invasion last year. But it seems to me that the calculation of the Biden administration is that as long as India is broadly on board in terms of the larger geostrategic challenge, which is China, they're willing to look the other way in terms of India's purchases of Russian oil, which the Indians argue that they need because they have a low per capita income and they're just buying the cheapest oil that they can find. And I think that so far they have quite skillfully managed to persuade the Biden administration and the West more broadly that the Indian purchase of Russian oil, which is very large, is not going to be a deal breaker as long as they continue to have shared purpose on the question of Chinese hegemony in Asia.
Notably, Xi Jinping is not attending the G20 in Delhi, the first time he's not attended a G20. We have 30 seconds. Is that regarded as an insult in any fashion in Delhi?
Absolutely, John. It is regarded as a deliberate insult and a snub, and it is regarded as a Chinese attempt to ruin India's big coming out party.
So therefore, this is not a happy G20 right now on the eve of. There are not a lot of smiles in Delhi about this.
I don't think we've had a lot of smiles in the world since the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Sadanand Dume for the American Enterprise Institute, writing about the G20 within days in Delhi, India. And the G20 will not include Xi Jinping. I'm John Batchelor.
Build a polished wardrobe that shows you stay you wherever you go with Mack Weldon. Use code MACK25 for 25% off your first order of $125 or more at MackWeldon.com.